since the day made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He's teaching and I'm learning to lead. I'm learning to lead, learning to lead, learning to lead on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. There's glorious victory each day now for me, since I found His peace so divine. He helps me with each task, and if only I ask, every day now I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dream. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Well, good morning. Well, that was pretty good. Let's try that again. Good morning. All right. Well, what is that?
Buenos dias.
Okay. I'll let the professionals take that. Anyway, I'm glad you're here today. Glad you made it on time and got up. And somebody said we didn't need to just leave the time like it is. And I would agree, just leave it alone. And we would all be fine. But anyway, I'm glad you made it. And we're glad you're here. And we've got a special treat for you if you didn't already know. Brother Jared, I believe this is his last Sunday with us. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so he's going to be teaching a class for us this morning. We need to honor those that are honorable. I believe he's one of those, so we're looking forward to that. So let's go and pray, and then we'll continue. Father, I ask that you bless this day, and need your presence, and need your power on Sunday school class as well as the service to come. We need your help in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, be seated, please. You know, talking about that time change, I saw a thing on Facebook yesterday that said this old Indian chief is saying only the government think you could take a foot off of the top of a blanket, sew it onto the bottom of the blanket, think you have a longer blanket.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. All right, it's Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Maybe you detect a theme this morning.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. How bright the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Just before Brother Perry comes and prays, I want to mention this. Many of you know Jose Luna. He usually sits up here. He's in Laredo this weekend. His grandfather passed away Tuesday morning, so just be praying for the family. He said pray for Grandma Mima and then the family.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessings and for your salvation this morning, Lord. And we pray, Father, for those that are here this morning, that you bless them and as we hear your word preached and taught. We pray, Father, for those that are sick and those that have lost loved ones this morning. Father, I ask you to comfort them and help them and meet their needs. Heal those that are sick, Lord. We pray for that. Lord, be with our nation and our government and our leaders, Lord, and guide and direct as you would, Lord. And I pray, Father, you bless all the services this morning. Be with those that help us, Lord, when we have needs, such as EMS and police officers and military. Father, if there's one lost without Christ here in this place this morning, or any other place, Lord, where the gospel is preached, we pray, Father, you draw them to you and that they'll be saved this morning. God, direct all we do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, he died.
So y'all know Brother Zapata. I was thinking, I was just writing down a few things. He's helped work on buses. He's a missionary for children, for homes, children's homes. He plays the piano. He gives lessons in pianos. I was a former pupil of his. When he plays the piano really well, I still want to break his fingers because I'm very frustrated with the piano, and he does it so effortlessly. Even songs, he said, well, I don't know this one very well, but I'll just follow you. Just go ahead and do it, and I'll follow right along. I don't know how he does that. Scheduled all the offertories, had the guitar group preaching, pictures, the camera stuff that he did, and a servant's heart, all those things, I thought. So he's a good man. Y'all pray for him as he leaves, and his wife, as she's about ready to deliver. He says God needs to kind of extend that just a little bit because they have a conference to go to this next weekend. So you pray with him about that, and I believe God answers those type of prayers. But anyway, so Brother Spotter, you come, and thank you so much for your service here.
Well, thank you all. I was telling him it's been a blessing for us, of course, to be here, and y'all allowed us, Pastor Nichols specifically, to be a part, and so we really appreciate that opportunity. And it was not an easy decision in the sense that we'd miss it. We are going to miss everybody, and you know, we definitely know that God has, you know, a plan, and so we're just wanting to make sure we stay in His will. And just so many different things that, you know, we had to decide right away. And so just keep us in your prayers. Thank you again for allowing us to be a part of the church family. And yes, we have a conference next week. And because of the move and everything that's been going on lately, you know, she's been kind of saying, okay, you do have a to-go bag ready while you're down there right now, right? And just in case I need to call you, you have to come back up here. And so so I told her, I said, yes, but we don't have time for that right now. So we got too much going on. And so, of course, jokingly, you know, but I told her she needed to take it easy because, of course, with the conference next week, we don't want her to go into labor while we're mid-song and the platform up there or something. So anyways, but I pray for her and, of course, all the kids. And thankfully, her dad does pastor. And for those who don't know, her dad pastors in Lewisville, Texas, Pastor Daniel Ortiz there in Lewisville. And so she's able to be with them. We're able to kind of camp out with them until such time as we know a little bit more detail. And then so that makes it nice. You know, her mom has always been the type that has always been nearby whenever it's close to the baby coming. That's just kind of been her routine and something that she likes to do. And of course, Elisa always, you know, appreciates that. So this kind of worked out where she can be with her mom during this time. So yes, so please pray for her and of course her sanity with the other four. So she sent me a picture of Zane yesterday. Apparently they were outside, and you know, they spent a lot of time outside. But she was like, wow, this is great. You know, they weren't fighting. They were doing good. You know, they were having a good time. When he came in, and apparently he had gotten in dirt. He had dirt all over his hands, all over his face. It looked like he had like some sort of 5 o'clock shadow and everything. And I'm like, wow. Well, he had a good time. So building that immune system, right? So yes, Judges chapter 16. What a great song. I don't think she's still in here, but what a great job she did. Am I on? Is this still on? Okay. It just seemed to get quieter. You can still hear me? Take this away. And you can still hear me? Okay. And so, but what a great song. And I think it's truly, truly fitting. I was just sitting there listening to the words. And although it was done really beautifully as well, but the words are very powerful. And just kind of really fitting to today's situation. You know, with the, and I'm not going to get too into the politics of it all, but with the whole cancel culture thing, you know, who's to say? And, you know, no doubt it's coming, but who's to say if all these things that are being canceled and seen as offensive, or, I mean, when 2 + 2 = 4 is now offensive and, you know, and seen as racist or something like that, who's to say at some point the Bible will become something of offense and to some people, and eventually become one of those things that will want to be removed from our culture. And And so it's really a time to really, I guess, pay attention, right? It's really a time to realize, you know, the world is changing, right? And we need to not be so, you know, blind to it. Maybe not be out there starting fights or anything like that. But at the same time, be ready to maybe stand. Be ready to take the stand. Be ready to say, nope, that's not quite what we're about. That's not quite what I agree with. I'm not going to agree with that. And that's a moment that I really believe is coming soon. And to be able to proclaim, as she was saying, you know, that's my God, you know, and that's not, I don't want to be putting myself in a situation where my God is mocked, my God is put down, my God is, seen as offensive. You know, I want to be able to say, you know what, no, that's my God, I'm not ashamed of it. And if that offends you, well, there's always, you don't have to be around me, okay, you know, and I truly believe that, you know. I think that today's society is very, it's all about me, it's all about what I want, and they don't really see the benefits and see the advantages that they have, whether it be in America, the country that we live in, but also in Christ. You know, I believe that that's what they're missing, is having Christ in their life, because if Christ was in your life, you'd be a little bit more grateful for what we have, and just realize how blessed we truly are when you compare to other countries and people who do not know Christ. I've had the privilege of being able to go to other countries and just see truly how poor people can be. The poor here compared to the poor there, not the same. And so how poor people can truly be. I've been to countries where, you know, the places they live are simply just bamboo put together, tied together, and that's it. And it's one little room, like half the size of the fellowship hall there for the entire family. And yet people here, you know, are crying and getting offended about things, and yet they're walking out of Walmart with two buggies full of groceries, and they have a nice place to go to that they pay little to no rent with. And so, again, we do have a good country that tries to take care of its people. And it's just one of those things that as Christians that I feel that it's coming our way, where the freedoms that we hold, not just as Americans, but as Christians, are truly going to be attacked. And we have to be ready. And we're going to talk about the phrase. There's a phrase in this scripture. And again, I'm not, I need to get better at this. I know pastors, when they preach a sermon, they mark it where they preached it, when they preached it, and everything. And sometimes I forget, like, did I preach this one before? I don't know if I preached this one here before. So repeat, just pretend like I've never done it before. Okay. But it's one of those ones that it just really hit home with everything that's going on. I mean, the song just really kind of reflects this. And I just want to speak on it today. The title is Only This Once. Only This Once. It's a small phrase within the verse that we're about to read, but I feel like it's very important we as Christians, with the way things are changing, that we don't find ourselves in this particular situation. Judges chapter 16 and verse 28. Judges chapter 16 and verse 28. The Bible says, "And Samson called upon the Lord," and which sounds good so far, right? I mean, that's what we all should do, call upon the Lord, okay? "And said, O Lord God, remember me." Well, now it doesn't sound totally good. I mean, after all, you know, if we have an ongoing relationship with Christ, we shouldn't have to say, "Hey, God, remember me? You know, have you forgotten about me? Or, you know I haven't spoken to you in a while." I know there's a pastor that always joke with some of the teens and stuff. They're like, "Hey, you know, I prayed for you today. You know, Jesus told me to tell you hi. He hasn't heard from you in a while," you know, or something like that. And, you know, again, sometimes it can be true. You know, sometimes if we get too busy, we get too lackadaisical in our relationship with God, we find ourselves saying, "Man, you know, when was the last time I've spoken to God? Have I spoken to God today? I really need him in today's events and things that's going on today." But Samson's here saying, "Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. and strengthen me, I pray thee. So you can hear the earnestness in his prayer, in his speech here. He's like, Lord, please remember me, strengthen me, I pray thee. So he's pleading with God at this moment for to do something for him. Oh God, that I may at once avenge of the Philistines for my two eyes. And we missed the whole phrase here. So pray, strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, if you underline that, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my eyes. And we're going to focus in on that one phrase, only this once. It's even set apart in the commas there for the grammar effect, only this once. So remember me, O Lord. Strengthen me, O Lord. Just this once, only this once, so that I could be avenged for my eyes. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for allowing me to be able to speak. Lord, I ask that you please speak through me. Help me to say only what you have me to say. Speak to my heart as well, for this is something that I believe that we all could use. And Lord, I ask that you just speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So only this once. So let's see what's going on. So Samson is here. He's pleading with God, asking for strength. As we know, Samson was the strongest man in the world. So why is he, you know, begging for strength? Why is he saying, do you remember me, O Lord? Why is he in this moment of desperation? Okay. And to the point where he was like, just this once, please just let me have this opportunity only this once. Well, where did all that come from? Well, let's go back a little bit and just see where Samson was in his life. In Judges chapter 13, as we know, the angel came down and told his mom, hey, you're about to have a son. This is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do. He's going to be a mighty man. He's going to, you know, be a judge over Israel. This is what you got to do to take care of him. You know, and as, you know, as many moms would love to do, she basically got a little playbook on how to raise him. Not many moms get that, okay? All right? And so many times you just kind of figure it out and say, Lord, I'm trusting you here to help me with this child of mine and hope everything goes well and I want him to serve God and everything. But she got a playbook. And here's the perfect example. Guess what? No matter how specific, you know, she was told to raise him, guess what? He still didn't make the right decision. He still, you know, and I think the parents, you know, sometimes, you know, we may, I don't have teenagers, but I know that's coming. And sometimes we have to realize, right? We have to realize that, you know what? At some point, we have done everything we can. We don't give up on them. But as parents, I've tried to instill the principles that they needed. I've tried to point them in the right direction. He or she is turning 18 years old now. At this point, at some point between 16 and 18 or even earlier, they've had to decide to make these principles their own. They've had to decide that Jesus is my God, that I'm going to serve him. And at 18, guess what? You got to decide on your own. The decisions you make on your own are truly now becoming your own. Okay? I have done everything and you are now accountable. You are responsible basically fully as an adult now to take the reins of your life and see what God can do with them. And so Samson is here. And as we read Judges chapter 13, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and here we go, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, and the what? Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So you have the Spirit of the Lord, even as a young man, as a child growing up, the Spirit of the Lord is moving through him. And no doubt, as many moms, you know, like, wow, God is really, you know, preparing him for something great. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move. All right. So let's look at this again. Where has his life been taking him, you know, after that? So chapter 14, verse 6, let's read it there. Chapter 14, Judges chapter 14, verse 6. What does it say? And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. Now, this is like a goat, okay? Not a like a human kid, okay? Although there are times where it's like, okay, no. And he had nothing in his hand, and he told not his father and his mother what he had done. So again, the Spirit of the Lord. And of course, this was the story when the lion jumped in the path And, you know, he decided, you know what, either you move or you die. Which one you want? And the lion decided to come at him, so he just rent him in two. And again, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I think that we have to realize, just to kind of get a mental picture, Samson wasn't some, you know, I don't believe he was some massive, like, huge guy that is just like, people are like, wow, like all of a sudden he just, you know, I'm sure he was fit, obviously, I'm sure he had muscular physique, but at the same time, the strength that we speak of, that Samson was the strongest man that ever lived, was the strength of the Spirit of the Lord working through him, okay? So in other words, we too can find strength. I don't know if you've heard stories of when moms, you know, when there's a situation when it comes to their kid, they're, you know, like they get trapped under something or whatever, this adrenaline rush comes, and this mom, this little petite lady, because that is her kid, that kid is in danger, she just lifts this thing, and there are stories of ladies lifting this thing, and they grab their kid, and people are like, whoa, what just happened? And it's just that moment. And Samson was experiencing many of these moments, so to speak, when the Spirit of the Lord, it wasn't just adrenaline, I'm sure it was involved, right? I mean, a lion's coming after you, you know, he's probably not just like, you know, like that, okay? He, no doubt, he was ready to go. He's like, okay, come on, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord worked through him. So he's experiencing, he truly knows what it means for the Spirit of the Lord to go through him. Again, Judges chapter 14 and verse 19. Let's read that. And the, what? Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew, how many men? 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle, and his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. So we're starting to see the Spirit of the Lord is still working through him. The Spirit of the, God is using him for his glory, even in his little temper tantrums here. Okay, God is still getting the glory because why? He was to protect the people of Israel, and through his little temper tantrums, he was doing so. Okay, he was killing off some of the enemy. He was doing these things. And yet we can see, starting to see this attitude change in Samson's life. He's not able to control himself. He's emotionally all over the place. He's trying to challenge, you know, people. And no doubt because of his physique and the way that people look to him and position and power, no doubt some of that went to his head a little bit. Okay, he was human. And so, no doubt, you know, he could have any girl in the kingdom or any girl in the land, you know. And as you can see, he had that attitude when he chose the wrong crowd to pick from when it came to his soulmate that he was looking for. And he was like, I want that one. Get me her, you know, instead of the ones that were amongst his people. And so you're seeing this attitude change. But even while he's slowly becoming somebody that eventually he will regret, right? The Spirit of the Lord is still trying to work through him and use him and fulfill God's will in his life. Okay, so Judges chapter 15 and verse 14. Let's go there. Judges chapter 15 and verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And this, what happened? And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. So again, another just expression of truly who God was. God was using this moment through Samson to show who he was. And as the Philistines had bound him and tied him, and again, there's many other stories in here, but I picked those that you could just see where it truly said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He broke those things as if it was nothing, as if they were burnt, literally fell off of him. But they were cords and restraints that could have bound any regular human being. And you could just see this, just like, and he just breaks through. And they're like, whoa, what was that? And of course, they're all in fear of him. They're all afraid of him. And they want to kill him. Not just because that he is a danger to them, but guess what? They too, the enemy, okay, of the Lord, can see what? The Spirit of the Lord working through him. Okay, so that's the thing. So as Christians, when we go out there, people see when the Spirit of the Lord works through us. And I'd hate to say that we are living in a generation where that will, I can't even say possibly, but will offend people. Now, not that we should carry our pulpit around and we see somebody, you know, drinking on the side of the road, and instead of trying to be a witness and trying to love people and try to, well, you know, try to say, hey, you know, invite them to church. We carry our pulpit around, stick it in front of them, and he's like, whoa, you know, and we're like, that's sin. And we start preaching at him, and he's like, dude, I wasn't even, you know, talking to you. Why are you over here preaching at me? Okay. And people get turned away from the things of Christ because it's like, you know, wow, you didn't even come at me with some love. You didn't come at me with some understanding of what situation I'm in, what my moment I'm having here. My wife just died, and you know, who knows what they're going through, but yet we see the outward appearance and we make a judgment call. And we try to become that, you know, that savior in their life while we forget that it's God who changes people from the inside out. And so here again, he was representing Christ. I mean, he killed thousands of men with the jawbone. You know, we see all these moments again where the Spirit of the Lord worked through him. But then we see one moment, Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. The people wanted to get rid of him. The people wanted to destroy him. Not only was he killing, but he was representing something that was more powerful than them. They wanted control. They wanted to have power over the Israelite nation. And so, and they were like, they served other gods, and they're trying to uplift their gods and try to overshadow the God. But the God kept showing forth out of Samson's life, and they didn't like that, so they needed to destroy him. They needed to get rid of him because why? The Spirit of the Lord kept working through him, and we don't like that. So how do we get rid of him? Well, what is his weakness? The women. All right. The attention, the admiration. Wow, you're so strong. You're so amazing. Can you lift that again? And can you flex for me again? And you have all this. And so they knew, they were like, okay, what if we paid her to try to find out his secret? And, you know, and if there were teenagers in here, I would go to that verse where at that point when she decided to, you know, after many, many times of lying to her, okay, he decided, and the Bible says he shared with her all his heart. Okay, great point. If you have teenagers or children or whatever, at what point do you give your heart over to the person that you're just friends with? Right? And so, again, he gave her all his heart, and therefore, boom, the weakness. The weakness came, and now he finds himself here, Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. And the Bible says, and he said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, here we go, this is so funny, any guy, oh, I got this, watch me work, sit right over there, they won't even come near you, but you step aside and watch the master, I'm going to show you a few things, you know, just like any of those guys, competitive people. Now, I can be competitive, I like to win, but at the same time, I'm not the type that, you know, will be like, oh man, I didn't win, I'm not really that far into it. I think my friends in high school hated me for that, because like, Jared, it's not just the game. I'm like, at the end of the day, it is, okay, I'm going to try hard, don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to go cry about it afterwards, you know, and I had friends that would throw the basketball against the wall, and I'm thinking, and I just started laughing. I'm like, that is so funny, you know, they'd punch the wall, and then they're like, oh, and I'm like, okay, why? Why in the world, if you're going to get mad at somebody for beating you, punch them. Why hurt yourself, you know? I don't understand that. And, anyways, and so Judges chapter 16, you can see here the attitude that he's having. And he says, and he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times. Yeah, I've been here, done that before, as other times before, and shake myself. And he, what? Here we go. And he wist not. He didn't realize. Wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Many verses, the Spirit of the Lord, but then at this moment, didn't even realize God wasn't with him. Now, let's make it clear. As a saved person, does God ever, you know, leave us and leave our heart? No. But do we put ourselves in a situation where truly God cannot be a part of? Where God cannot, I can't follow you down that path. I'll be here whenever you need me, But that path I didn't set you on. That path is leading to sin. That path is leading to a moment where I can't follow. And therefore, you're on your own, so to speak. I'm always here, but you're on your own. And at this point, Samson's like, I got this. Been here. I've done this before. Maybe a glimmer of God's allowed me to conquer them before. Maybe there was a glimmer of that somewhere in there. Okay. Hopefully he gave God some credit for everything that had happened in his life up to this point. And so there was a glimmer that, you know, I got this. And yet he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. As we know, what happened? Well, he's there, he's fighting, but all, he's probably like, why is this not working? And they're punching him, and he's like trying to block, and no doubt he put up a good fight. Again, it's just because he got his hair cut doesn't mean, you know, he went from being muscular to like a beanpole, this, you know, all of a sudden, okay? It's not some sort of cartoon figure here going on, okay? He was still a man of full physique, but at the same time, the Spirit of the Lord wasn't working through him now. And so now he's fighting, he's trying to, but yet they still get him where they need him to be, and they lead him off. And what happens? They put out his eyes. And I've always wondered, you know, even in the verse that we read at the beginning, revenge, avenged for my eyes, they put out his eyes of all things to do to him. Why his eyes? Why his eyes? I mean, they could have cut off, and back in those times, they cut off the hand, cut off the tongue, chop his head off, you know. They could have killed him right then and there. Like, why keep him alive? One. Why cut out, what out, why put out his eyes? Two. You know, what was the point of all this? Well, we're going to get to that. So they cut out his eyes. So immediately there's this regret. You know, can you imagine, no matter how big, no matter how buff, no matter how strong you are, without your eyes, you are at the mercy of the people around you. Or you're at the mercy of the blind stick or the seeing eye dog or something. You know, you're at the mercy of whatever can help you on your day-to-day life. And so here's this big man. One point, Spirit of the Lord is working through him. He did so many amazing and extraordinary things. But now he's like this when it comes to just trying to get out of bed. He's trying to find things, and people are trying to, over here. And he's over here, you know, and they're trying to make him do. And so you can tell that they probably did that just so that they can have full control of this beast of a man. This beast of a man. He was at full mercy of them at that point. They didn't want to cut off his hands. Because guess what? They wanted to enslave him. As we see here, the bond, they bound him with brass fetters. They're like, forget the ropes, forget the little ties and zip ties or whatever, get them brass fetters out and bind him. So they bound him because, again, they're still afraid. They're still like, okay, he's still a big guy, okay? We still need to make sure that he is, you know, under control here. They put him on the prison. They put him to work. They enslaved him. And again, all these words, regret, bondage, enslaved. Does it not sound like something that sin could do to us if we put ourselves in that type of situation? So we have, again, regret, that bondage, that enslavement. And they saw, and here's the sad part, they saw him as a figure that they could use to not only praise their gods, but to mock the one true God. Here's a man who had been a judge of Israel. He had the Spirit of the Lord work through him in so many different ways. And now the same man is being used as a picture of mockery to the one true God. Can you imagine the heartbreak as they trot him out, maybe ever so often, to one of their parties? They bring him on out here, let's make this, and they're throwing stuff at him. But, and okay, maybe that was demeaning. That was, you know, like, man, I feel like trash. I feel like just a piece of meat up here for them to make fun of. But the one thing that no doubt depressed him the most was that they're like, oh, I thought your God was a true God. I thought your God was a mighty God. Where's your God now? I bet he probably doesn't even exist. And they're making fun of the one true God that he knew from the very beginning. From the nighttime stories that his mom would tell him, man, God told me you're going to be a great man. You're going to be one that people are going to admire you. And he knew who God was. He would no doubt remember the stories of what his mom would say, how God's going to use you and God has something great for you. And he's just remembering as they're making fun of the one true God. just like the song. That's my God. And this was, no doubt, he's like, no, God, that you are God. You are God. Man, how can I have put myself to in a position where they can mock who you truly are? As unsaved, we're going to get to that point here in a minute, but some more on that point. But as unsaved, we have to realize if there's anyone that's not saved here today, let's not get to a point where we are like Samson. If there's someone that's saved here today, let's also not get to a point where we are like Samson, where we find ourselves now in a life situation where we're like, God, please, just this once, can you grant me this request? Just this once. And we find that now they're trotting him out, and he asks this young lad, please, take me to these pillars that hold up the building. And this kid, again, at the mercy of a child, this huge man at the mercy of a young man, gets led to the pillars. He puts his hands on there, and then he stops. And, of course, everybody's making fun of him. He hears the crowd. He hears the joking and the mockery. And he says, okay, and he prays that prayer. And we read it again. And Samson called upon the Lord and said, oh, Lord, remember me. I pray thee only, and strengthen me, I pray thee only this once. And as unsaved, this is the plea to you that we don't wait. How many times have we been out and we've been soul winning and people are like, well, I'm just not ready right now. And we think, look, don't get to a point where you are in a situation, a dangerous situation where you're like, man, I need God right now. And you're like, Lord, just this once, please don't take my life. Don't let me fall into this situation. Don't let me. And just please this once, let me have a chance to call upon your name and accept you as my savior. How many times have people been on a deathbed and they're like, Lord, please don't take me yet. I haven't trusted in you. I haven't accepted you as my savior. Realize if you're not saved this morning, realize, or if there's anyone watching that's not saved, realize hell is real. Don't get to a point where you're like, just this once, please. I mean, we read the story of Lazarus in the Bible. Just a drip of water, please. You know, can you tell my brothers? Why? Because he realized I didn't take the opportunity when I had it. Realize heaven is real. Realize that there's a penalty for sin. Realize that salvation is real. Amen. Grace is real. God did die on the cross for us so that at one point, only this once, that we can accept Christ as our personal Savior. But, as I know many in here, many of the faces in here are familiar to me, I know that many in here are saved. But, as saved people, let's realize that only this once, guess what? There's a changing world out there. And there's going to be a moment where we're going to be like, okay, Lord, I need you to use me this one time, and allow me not to be in a situation where like, Lord, if this is the last time that I can be used, I'm sorry, I'm in this, you know, the prodigal son moment here. I'm in the pig pen, so to speak, in life. And Lord, please, just this once, if you could just get me out of the mud and the mire of life and use me again, please just give me a chance. But why get ourselves in that situation? Why can't we be over here where it's like the Spirit of the Lord is working through us? We're destroying thousands of situations with our jawbone that we have, that God has provided for us. We're carrying things, burdens, as he carried the gates of the city to prove a point at one point. You know, we're carrying burdens for other people because God is working through us because of who we are and what we know God can do. And through that, people can say, wow, man, you truly serve a real God. Man, you truly serve a risen God. Man, there's something different about the God that you serve than the gods that we serve. And we pray, Lord, use me one more time. Not in the same situation as Samson, but we're like, one more time, let's do this again. Man, that was a great visit. Let's try that again. Man, that person came to know Christ as their Savior. I want to see that happen again. Man, you know, our family, we sang together in church and it was just a blessing. We want to try that again. And we see how God can use us. Realize, saved person, that lives are still out there that need to be reached. Realize that hearts are still out there that need to be led to Christ. Realize that families are falling apart. I was in a meeting just recently where they gave a statistic where they said that, you know, the divorce rate went down. And I'm thinking, well, how? And they said, but it's not because there's not people getting divorced. It's just the generation that we live in today, because of the divorce rate, because of how marriage is seen today, they just don't get married. So the divorce rate went down, but only because people just don't get married anymore. Lives are changing. Okay, families are falling apart. The whole idea of
kid being raised without a father is one of the prime situations that we live in today. Okay, people are in need. The opportunity to serve is there. The opportunity to be able to say, Lord, don't only just use me this once, but man, use me again. Use me again wherever you need me. If there's multiple opportunities, allow me to have that motivation to be used. It's basically time to move forward. The Bible talks about it. If my people shall call upon my name in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible talks about every knee shall bow. There will be a time where these people who are mocking us or these people who, I mean, again, I'm not saying that we are truly persecuted. There are Christians out there in other countries that truly are persecuted. But guess what? It's coming. The world is changing. This cancel culture and everything, it's going to start hitting a little bit closer to home. And we're going to have to realize every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess at some point. But guess what? Right now, I'm going to stand my ground because guess what? This once. If God gives me just one more chance to do it, I'm going to make sure I'm going to be here and be doing it. And as we know, the story of Lazarus, again, he missed his opportunity. And this is, of course, the Lazarus that went to hell, the rich man. And he missed the opportunity. He's crying out from hell saying, please, you know, just a drop of water. Can you go to my brothers? Can you? And he's crying out because he realized he missed that opportunity. Why not have the victories such as Daniel who saw the Spirit of the Lord work through him as he prayed? Why not like Esther as she was asked to step out of her comfort zone? Why not like the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they stood in the fire? Why not like David and Goliath, who saw the victory of defeating Goliath, and as Moses, who led the people out of Israel? Why not let it be said? Why not let it be said that as I go about my daily life, that someone could point to me and say, I saw Jesus in you. I don't know if you've heard the song of Ron Hamilton where it says, I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes, I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. Let it be a challenge for all of us as we see our society coming to a kind of a turning point, as we see churches coming to a point where many are closing, and COVID really had an impact in many places, okay? And so let it be a challenge that we do not end up in the situation where we wist not that God departed out of our life. We wist not that God departed out of our family's life. We wist not that God departed out of our church. We wist not that God departed out of the things that I truly held dear at one time. And now it's like, whoa, what's happening here? Where have I found myself? And we have this wake-up call where we're pleading with God, remember me, please, strengthen me, just one more time. Give me one more chance. When God could have given us so many opportunities and the Spirit of the Lord could have worked in so many ways for people to truly say, I saw Jesus in you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for allowing the opportunity to be here. And Lord, Sunday is always a great time. It's a great refresher. It's a great chance to be able to be in your house and to be around your people. Lord, I ask that you please bless them. Help the services to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.